Hello, everybody, and welcome to an extra rowing chat this month. My name's Rebecca Caro, and today I'm joined by Carl Studler. Carl, welcome.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me, Rebecca.
So we're here today because Carl dropped us an email, and he said, I'm a parent with young children, and I'm challenged by being able to continue rowing. Who has this challenge? So let's kick off, Carl. Tell us a little bit about your background and your rowing history.
Sure, yeah. So I grew up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in Western Canada. And I grew up actually in the sport of cross-country skiing. So I'm actually a Nordic ski racer. And I ended up doing that in my younger years all the way through university. I also went to the World University Games in cross-country skiing. And then I decided to move on from that sport. For about 3 to 4 years, I was actually running quite a bit, but sustained a number of stress fractures. Found rowing to be a good alternative to my past cross-country skiing and the running that I was trying to do. So I ended up starting rowing about 6 years ago. Basically, it's been about 5 years with a master's group. And then this past year, this 1 year has been with a recreational group. In terms of what I did with, I'm 34 years old as well. When I went into the rowing with the master's group for those 5 years, I was doing a number of different master's events. I went to the Canadian Masters National Championships in 2016. And I've also done some races such as the Head of the Gorge and Tail of the Gorge in Victoria, British Columbia. I just recently switched to the recreational group this year because we had, my wife and I had our second child. We had one, so now we actually have two children. One is a boy, almost 3 years old, and then our second child that was born this past fall is about 8 months old now. So we have a just under three-year-old and an eight-month-old, and I'm in a rec group now and still trying to stick with rowing.
Well, congratulations on all of those achievements, particularly two lovely children.
Thank you.
Tell us about and what times of day and how many days of the week did you used to train with them?
Yeah, so the master's group, I would say, you know, prior to having our first child and even our first child for a little bit, I was able to manage basically the 2 weekday group sessions and also a one Sunday group session. The 2 weekday Monday and Wednesday sessions were, you know, around 6:30 to 8 p.m. So evening, like, you know, not super late evening, not super early. And then the weekends were 7 till 9 a.m. So 3 days a week group training for, you know, probably 4 to 5 good solid years. In the winter, it was a little, that was all on water. In the winter, there would be, there was Tuesday and Thursday evenings, and then also Sunday mornings, every second Sunday morning. So you could roughly say it's about 3 sessions a week, evenings, weekdays, and morning, weekend.
And now that you're in the recreational group?
Yeah, so the recreational group is actually set up to have 2 evening sessions as well on the days that the masters don't meet, and then one Sunday morning from 9 to 11 during on water, and then during and also during off season, it would just be the Sundays as well, once a week. So, but what I've been doing since our second was born. Was that I can really only, by the time I get the kids in bed and all that, I've basically been unable to do any weeknight sessions at all. And with weekends during the winter, I was able to make the Sunday 9 to 11 in the morning. And then on the water, there was a period where we were having a little bit of a tough time with our baby. So in May and June, I was missing them. But now Sundays, I'm back to like kind of like 9 to 11 every Sunday morning throughout this summer. So really, it ends up being like, you know, once a week on a weekend from 9 to 11 with a rec group, when I've come from a very competitive background. And so it's pretty limited. And then on the weeknights, I'm pretty much just rolling into the rowing club when everyone's gone. Like I'll roll in at, you know, 8:30, get in a row till 9:30 at night, right when the sun sets, and then I'm back at home. On the weekends, like on the Saturday, I'll go at, you know, 5:30 in the morning, go till 7, then the senior group shows up at 7, and I'm kind of leaving when they show up at 7, and then it's just that one Sunday where I can actually potentially row with others in crew boats and stuff like that. So it's kind of, yeah, it's very limited right now on being, you know, with other people consistently, which is what I was used to all these years, right? So. Yeah.
So, and do you sweep as well as scull?
I would say it's almost all sculling for me. I've done a little bit of sweeping in eights, but extremely limited. I would say I would call myself a sculler.
Okay. Yeah. So I went out to the group, which is a Facebook group called Masters Rowing International, which we hope you'll join and our listeners will join too. And I posed the question. I said, I'm going to be talking with Carl. What do you recommend? And there was a ton of suggestions. So I'm going to run through some of the helpful things that people have said, which basically the very first thing is from a lady called Alessandra Novak. And she said, change quite quickly. And as you said yourself, you went through a period when your daughter was being a little challenging and it meant that you couldn't be out on your Sunday mornings. This is normal. And so putting yourself in a position where it's okay to skip practice is important. The big message from the group is if you want to train, the best times to do it are early morning, where you're back in time for breakfast, or early evening, just before they go to bed, so you can be back in order to put them to bed. Having said that, there are groups, and I've met one in Los Angeles where they're pushing away from the dock at 5 a.m. in the summertime, just like you do, Carl.
Sounds right, yeah.
And the length of your commute and whether or not you can get from the rowing club to home and home to work in an orderly fashion. The other things that were also suggested were training at home on an ergo, on a rowing machine. How would you feel about that, Carl?
Yeah, so I've thought about that as well. And I currently don't have an ergo, and with, you know, the cost of kids, I've tried to stay away from that. I will point out that we ended up deliberately buying a place pretty close to the rowing club. And my wife is really supportive of this sport. Like, she really appreciates the fact that I'm in such a good, solid, healthy sport for life. So we deliberately bought about 5 kilometers away from the rowing club. So I can cycle there and back pretty easily. And we have, like, I don't even know how many ergometers, probably like 25 or 30. And even if groups are there, there's always an extra one there. So in terms of ergometer, actually, to be honest with you, the ergometer setups worked pretty well. Like, I can bike and warm my body up. and then get ready to do an ergo and not have as much of a long of a warm up on ergo and just get going, and then cycle home. Or I can even drive if like it starts to get wintry conditions here in Canada. So yeah, I do like that suggestion, and I always keep that in mind. But in terms of that ergometer aspect, yeah, I've actually ended up setting myself up pretty good for that. So
that's fantastic. So one suggestion from Guillermo de las Casas, he says, if you can obviously, and Guillermo says, although they're not, in his opinion, his first choice, he said the water rowing machine makes far less noise than a Concept 2. So if you decide that you want one at home in the garage, that was a suggestion.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. So great.
Now, we had another suggestion, which was about gym membership, because quite a few people hold a gym membership as well. And this was a couple, and they both wanted to carry on training. And they said, we cancelled our gym membership when I was pregnant because we knew that obviously we were going to have a child. And we switched the money that we had saved off of the gym membership to start to buy home gym equipment. And she said, we built up slowly. The first thing we got was a bike, and then we got an erg, and then we got... And then we got into said it was basically pretty full on. But what we had then was a baby monitor in our garage so that we could train while at their point one child and your point two, while the other one was the kids were asleep. But the baby monitor gave us the reassurance that we were close by should something happen and we'd be needed.
Yeah, that's another, yeah, a great suggestion. Yeah.
The other thing that was really, really helpful that was mentioned is that once the kids are over 18 months old, it gets better. Now, you have an 8-month-old. And you've been through it once already.
The other one is just under 3. So, yeah, I mean... Yeah, he's starting to get, it's starting to be more reasonable with him. But yeah, so what you're saying is once that 8-month-old becomes, gets to that sort of 18-month-old, 24-month-old period, yeah, things will be a bit more reasonable maybe. But
that's good. Yeah. When they're a lot older, you can row in the mornings and they don't want to get out of bed and they won't even know that you've gone is part of the advice from a lady called Margot Mayer. And what she did also say was you should skip practice if you have a crappy night. And I'm quoting her directly there. She just said, it happens. Be gentle with yourself. And don't take the guilt trip thing. It's not worth it. The children are worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I haven't, you've already mentioned your wife and how supportive. Suggestions from a couple of different people, particularly couples where both partners wanted to be able to train. And one lady said she's married to a triathlete. And she said, I train in the morning, he trains at night. And our kids just get used to the fact that either mom or dad is always off doing something.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm sort of the competitive one of the two of us. my wife is certainly very active. Her thing is swimming. So, we've actually worked it out pretty good where I'll row Monday, Wednesdays, and then Tuesday, Thursdays, she'll have swim nights. So we've been able to sort of alternate nights like that. And just for everyone out there, doing the alternating a night approach is a good balance between the two of you, because then that way you each get, you basically get two nights each, Monday to Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you sort of figure out how things are going after that, and then that's what we've been doing. So, yeah.
Now, there was a couple of other suggestions around home life rather more than partner support. One lady said, I cook supper the night before I go training so that whoever's at home, whether it's the kids, in her case, I think slightly older kids, or her partner, she says, so they can warm up supper while I do an evening session. So I kind of, she's already a day ahead of herself.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, we do that as well. We try to plan out our meals on the Sunday, and that way for the week we know when leftovers are really crucial and when, okay, yeah, we can have the bit of extra time to make food. So, yeah, that's good advice.
Now let's talk a little bit. You said you're a sculler. Do you row in a regular crew, or is the recreational group just whoever turns up rows?
Yeah, so it's the latter, and I think that's one of my challenges actually is is I do a lot of single sculling because I end up showing up whenever I can, and then when I finally get the opportunity to go out with others, I'm always just placed with anyone, and I find, yeah, definitely a challenge is the inconsistency. Is being frustrated with the inconsistency of who I row with. So one week I'm with a guy that's, 8 years old trying to fit in with a quad, and then another week I'm with a guy that's trying to make our university team and learning how to row. And then all of a sudden I'm with, maybe some masters that, had to come to the later session that particular day for some reason. Because we're a pretty flexible club. So yeah, that's been I'd say of all the cha like that's been the biggest challenge is trying to row consistently with anyone basically. Because I do I like single sculling. I've always liked that, but the crew aspect of rowing is something I really like as well actually. So
So we had some advice on this from a lady called Kristen Flynn, and she says she made up a mum quad, but maybe you could find other parents. And she said, we got together and we made a commitment to an early slot so that we were always on the water at a time that suited us. She also said that sometimes we fixed up a creche. So we would take it in turns to hire a babysitter and bring. So a creche was a suggestion, but she had a regular parent group that she rode with. And she said a very important rule was to forgive each other when we miss sessions and to be flexible and to train alone on our off days, which I think you're already doing, Carl.
yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah, have a dedicated group that may not necessarily be at the club group time, but might be at a yeah, a mini group time almost, yeah.
Basically, there was another lady called Anne Buckingham who she also said, be willing to train with anyone. But she also said, be willing to race with anyone because she said, then the coach loves you because you're the person. So, my question to you is, what's the situation with your coach? Do you have a coach for your recreational group?
Yes, actually, yeah. We have a dedicated recreational coach. And that particular coach has been really great in terms of what you just said. Like, you know, the coach knows that I'm, you know, someone who's maybe not, has to have more flexibility and can't, you know, be with a set crew every single time. And it's been very good at finding spots to be like, oh, geez, we need this person to fill in this spot or this person to fill in this spot. Like, for example, earlier in July, we had our annual regatta, and they needed someone in, it was a mixed quad, and it was perfect because I was just sort of the extra one that was able to be put in that quad. So the coach, I've got a good coach, and a accommodating coach has been really good about me missing practices, but then when coming to fit me into crews. So, you know, pushing back advice out to people out there, I would say, yeah, always try to make sure you have a good coach, or at least have good communication with the coach in terms of how your week would look. I laid out kind of roughly what my week would be like and gave the coach an idea well in advance, and then that really helped when I didn't show up or showed up and knew that, you know, be there to fill in.
Well, it sounds like you've got that completely nailed. And Natalie Dustman had the advice that she said, if your coach is flexible and supportive, that makes a big difference. But she also recommended online coaching if you couldn't be a member of a regular group during the early childhood years.
Right.
Now let's talk about regattas and racing.
Sure.
To try and go to regattas?
Yeah, you cut off just a bit there, but I think if I understood it was just you know, going to regattas and trying to go to them. We have an annual regatta, so that one's an easy one. And I even can be a part of both the racing and a bit of the volunteering of that, which I did this past July. And then what I've done is, even though we do have kids, I do try to have one major regatta that I work towards. For this year, it will be the in Victoria, British Columbia, the Head of the Gorge and Tail of the Gorge, like I did a few years ago. So that keeps me motivated. And I think for those who are in starting to parent, it is still good to have, you know, some kind of target. So that way it keeps you training. It keeps you wanting to go out in at the 5 to 5:30 in the morning type times. And really that having that regatta that's coming up in October in my calendar has kept me from like leaving the sport really. And it keeps me wanting to do sport. You know, not just sort of going out once in a while here and there, but to actually do it on a regular basis. So, yeah, I think it's really important as a parent, even though you have the kids, to at least have some kind of goal for yourself and a regatta to target. So, for me, it's really our club annual regatta and then a target regatta as a minimum that I've kept in place no matter what. And that has helped. So.
Now, while you're physically at the regatta, Tanya D'Angelo has a great recommendation. She says, if you want to go race, take the kids with you. Because she said, you can use the power of the rowing village while you're on the water. Her advice is that there is always someone. And when your kids get a little older, Cynthia DeJew suggested, she said she and her husband used to take the kids with them to the regattas on the promise of doing fun things on the way home. So she said, we would promise to go to the water park or ice cream or something that they enjoyed. so that it was a mutual meeting of interests.
Yeah, very good. So basically making an entire family trip out of it. Yeah.
Exactly. There was also a very nice suggestion from Catherine Sarala Irving. Now, she's a coach, and she says in her club, they have a junior section of the club and obviously a master's section. And she connects the juniors to the masters as babysitters. The older juniors finish their rowing and then are free to act as childminders for the masters at the point when they're beginning their outings. So using other kids who are in your club as babysitters also may be an option, perhaps when they're a little bit older.
Yeah.
Do you have juniors in your club?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have lots of juniors. Yeah, I haven't, I don't think I've observed what you just described. But yeah, I could see this being something that could be worked out over the years. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Yeah, because the juniors would be at different times. Yeah, no, that's a good suggestion for sure.
Now, we're coming up to the end of our time, so I'm just going to wrap with a couple of very entertaining people who made suggestions, which possibly are not very aligned with your current situation, Carl, but I think they're worth putting out there. So Mike Victorson says, I multitask. I have the erg in the spare room. I watch videos instead of watching TV, and I put the wine back in the fridge more often. And lastly, Sheila Tubby, and she said her children were all swimmers. And she said, my erg lived in the back of my car for years, and I did all my training in the car park for the swimming pools where the kids were swimming. So she would just get on with it instead of waiting and watching.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, I don't think our current car right now wouldn't be able to fit an erg, but that's something to think about if we get a new vehicle.
Carl, I apologize for the interruptions in my broadband connection. Have we given you something to be thinking about?
Yeah, I think what I got from this, I think, is at the stage of the sort of 0 to 2 years old stage, that's going to be a tough one. The tough part of it, don't feel guilty about missing workouts. You know, might have to put some rowing to the side, you know, here and there. Try to go early mornings if you can, or early evenings. And then once you get past the sort of 2 year stage, gets a bit more easier to manage. And then as they get older and older, you can start incorporating them in trips, and also maybe even getting some support from the rowing community to look over the kids or play with them as you're doing the thing. So I think it was a very encouraging conversation. And it sounds like there's a lot of people out there that have been in this position. I don't feel so alone now, I guess is how a good way to say it. And I really appreciate all the great advice that you shared with me from the World Rowing Community.
Carl, thank you for your time. And if anybody has any ideas or additional suggestions, put them in the comments below and it'll become a useful resource. Carl, it's been a delight and thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Rebecca, for having me on this Rowing Chat podcast.
Till next time, everybody. Like us on all of the podcast channels. Please tell your friends. If you could all tell one friend about Rowing Chat, that will be. See you next time. Goodbye.